Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans, and starring John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray. Of course, the reason they always ask me to do the introduction to The Navy Lark is because I'm a fair amateur yachtsman myself. None of your round the world wrong way and standing on your head stuff for me, but I certainly know quite a bit about sails.
Obviously. That's where you got your suit from.
Chief, I did nothing of the sort. I'll have you know that in the announcer's common room, I'm known as Mr. Elegant.
Now, that's an interesting word.
What is?
Elegant.
Yes?
They gave the derivation of the word last week in my comic.
Yes?
You see, elegant breaks down into three parts. Mm-hmm. E from the Yorkshire, as in E bar gum. Leg, the things you fill your pants with. And lastly, ant, meaning small animals who live on a hill. Or ant, as in wife of an American uncle.
I see, Mr. Phillips, sir. So according to your comic, elegant means, e-bar gum, my uncle's American wife has got ants in her pants.
Of course, the essential thing about clothes is they must be designed to suit the occasion. This is never more true than with the design of the naval uniform. Let's face it, with a crew like Troutbridge and Mr. Phillips' navigation, they never know who they're going to bump into.
Now, that was their fault. They should have moved their funny-looking boat out of the way.
Well, that was hardly possible, sir. What you've just hit was the unmanned Trinity House Bumblespit light vessel.
Oh. Then it was still their fault. I mean, honestly, if there was no one on board, they had no right to park it there.
Mr. Phillips, this may come as a shock to you, but light vessels are parked, as you put it, to indicate to other ships that there is a danger to navigation. That being so, there should be one parked over the top of your head.
Gosh, it's jolly odd to think of that ship behind us. It hasn't got any men on it. I mean, it reminds me of that serial I've just been reading in my comic, called The Mystery of the Marie Celeste. You see, this ship sailed from New York City in 1872 on November the 5th. So the date alone should have told them something. Because Guy Fawkes had already been invented. Aye? Anyway, the captain, the crew and the ship all set sail full of wind, but they weren't at all happy.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Well, they weren't happy because Captain B.S. Briggs had his wife and daughter on board. You see, it's an old wives' and an old daughter's tale. Now, it's unlucky, you see, for chaps to have their chapesses on board. And they were right. Anyway, Captain Briggs, on his brigantine, not the stuff you put on your hair, because Captain Briggs is bald, you see. Now, it means a type of a ship like a bark, which was bigger than his bite. Because apart from being bald, he hadn't got any teeth either.
From your description of Captain Briggs up to now, the mind boggles as to how he got married, let alone had a daughter.
Ah, well, he did. But if he hadn't, he might well have been alive today.
A bald, toothless, 140-year-old man.
But this was the interesting bit.
A correction, Mr. Phillips. This is the interesting bit. Thanks to your last left hand down a bit, we're rapidly approaching Portsmouth Harbour entrance wall.
What? Where? Action station.
Action station?
No, too late. No, left hand down. Up.
Right hand up.
Too late. Backwards. Wrong again. Take away the number you first thought. Double it. On second thought, don't. No. There isn't time. No. Go over the top.
Too late! Everybody down!
That's what I like. A man who makes a decision and sticks to it.
Lord and Murray, sir. I think Mr. Phillips was hoping that by hitting the harbour entrance wall on the starboard side, that it would boing out the dents on the port side that he made when we hit the light vessels.
gosh, Chief, how did you guess? You must be a mind reader.
Well, in that case, Mr. Phillips, even if your mind was in small print, reading it would only take 3 seconds flat.
Now, that wasn't very nice. You're jolly tetchy today.
Well, it's hardly surprising, Mr. Phillips, sir. I mean, while you and I are going back to the birds and the booze, Commander Murray's going back to an empty house.
Oh, lummy, I am sorry, Commander Murray. I'd no idea your marriage had broken up.
No, the only reason I'm alone is that Ritakins, my dear wife, Mrs. Murray, isn't at home because she's had, an urgent private appointment.
Gosh, I hope it's a boy.
No, it's not! It's a horse,
pardon?
No, Rita and her horsey, horse, Bouncing Betty, are competing in the Leon Sea and Southend Combined Annual Horse Fair in Gymkhana. I wish she was here. You see, before she left, she arranged with our next-door neighbours, Captain Povey and his wife, to look after me. That does it! I was going to let you off, but not after that. They tell me I can bring my friends around for cocoa any time I like. And you are my friends, and tonight is the time I like.
No, we weren't laughing.
No, sir.
I was clearing my throat.
Yes, and I was coughing, sir. See? Coughing.
No! No. You're too late. My mind's made up. And that's an order.
Lummy, I say, what a welcome.
Well, I don't think it's a hoot to welcome, sir. I think it's a hoot to warning. If you don't do something dynamic, we shall ram that launch and bounce off or into the arbor wall.
Yes.
Gil, it's an interesting coincidence, isn't it?
What is?
The fact, Mr. Phillips, that launch belonged to the same owners as the light vessel, Trinity House.
Oh, clang. Now what am I going to do?
Not to worry, sir. As it's not a naval vessel, provided you have a new penny or two sorted away in your piggy bank, I think I know just the gent to have that launch fixed up as good as new at trade prices.
Ebenezer Pertwee's War Surplus Emporium. Ebenezer Pertwee speaking. And if it's the police, customs, income tax, or a relative, he's out and not expected back today.
What, you nunky? It's me, Johnsy.
In that case, he's not expected back ever.
No, wait, nunky, wait a minute. I want to put a bit of business your way.
Sorry, I can't take on any other work because the organisation is already stretched to capacity. Try Uncle Talbot. He's been having a thin time since his diver caught him nicking the lead out of his boots.
Squeaky bed springs to Uncle Talbot. If I asked him, he'd want 75% of the profits.
Then find somebody else. I'm busy.
That was an absolutely delicious meal, Mrs. Povey. I really must congratulate you on your cooking.
Thank you, Commander. My dear mother always said I was born cordon bleu.
She's right. I never had such a partially, lightly boiled egg.
Ramona, my love, what's this?
What's what?
This, my love, this.
Henry Povey, stop that revolting and childish empty eggy shell banging at once. And furthermore, it was in grave danger of damaging the superior hallmarked plastic teaspoon that my dear mother gave me on my wedding anniversary.
It was my wedding anniversary too, my love.
That was an unfortunate coincidence. First things first, Henry Povey. It's washing up time. Fetch your Ramona paid for apron.
Let me give you a hand. I'll do the wiping up. Oh, that's terrible.
You'll do nothing of the sort, Commander. You can get out my vacuum cleaner from my cupboard under my stairs and suck up all those crumbs which you have dropped onto my floor.
Oh, yeah, I'm dreadfully sorry.
There we are, my love. All ready. Permission to turn the water tap on. I'm wearing my apron.
Oh, very gay, sir. Is that apron Yugoslavian, sir?
What?
I was admiring the motif. What does Yobdug mean?
It means the fool's got it on back to front. Spelt the right right way round, your doog reads good boy, which he isn't.
Oh, oh, I'll answer. That's little puppy for me.
Yeah, right where you are. I will go and find out who is messing about with Ramona's ding-dongs. Wait, I've only got one pair of feet. Ramona Purvey's residence, state your name and occupation.
Good evening, Mrs. Purvey. Chief Petty Officer Pertwee.
The Padre.
And Sub-Lieutenant Phillips.
Reporting for duty. We was just passing and we wondered how Commander Murray was getting on.
I see. Well, in that case, wipe your boots on my Ramona-paid-for doormat and enter.
Well, actually, we were hoping he might be able to come out and play.
Certainly not. Inside.
I say, I do like your bust, Mrs. Povey.
I beg yours, Mr. Phillips.
I think he means the one on the pedestal, Padre.
Oh, yes, yes, it is enchanting. It's my dear mother's, actually. She gave it to my husband Henry as a permanent reminder of herself on his birthday.
Lucky old Henry.
Right, into my withdrawing room. You're going to come in handy. I'll fetch Commander Murray and the man who has the honor to be my husband.
Frankly, Chief, your plan for rescuing our captain and shipmate is hardly going according to plan. Instead of getting him out, you have got us in.
Got us in!
Yeah, well, my apologeticals all round, I'm sure, but what did she mean by will come in handy?
Well, it can't be to do the washing up, because Captain Povey always does that. And that'll be Commander Murray doing the vacuum cleaning.
Oh, so that's it then. She's brought us in here because she wants us to redecorate the room.
Right, gather round my dear mother's piano and stand by for an impromptu party.
Ramona, my love, permission to tickle your dear mother's ivories.
Well, we'll see. Show hands. Backs and fronts. Mm-hmm. Right, they'll do.
Thank you, my love.
And hand out the copies of my Ramona Povey personally selected top 10 tunes popular songbook to the choir.
To whom?
To us, Padre. This is where we earn our mugs of horrible cocoa that tastes like gnats.
Please! Turn to page 7.
Ah, here it is. Very apt, to be sure. It is entitled My Blue Heaven. Oh, got it, chaps.
Yes, sir.
It's the fifth song. Song number 5. Number 5.
Splendid. Henry, give me a note. Right, got it. Now, I shall sing the melody, and you'll all be syncopated.
Pardon?
We do the fiddly bits in between.
Oh, sorry, sir.
1, 2, 3, and off we go. Just Henry and me.
So we love turtle dove.
My dear mother makes 3.
Water chick, kiss me quick.
We'll be happy in March.
Let's all shout to Ray.
Blue.
She's in the family.
Stop! Henry Povey. Your obscene alterations of the words in my popular songbook were not a bit funny.
I thought they were.
I will deal with you later. The whole incident has spoiled the mood. It's a crying shame because I'm obviously in such good voice tonight.
Perhaps you'd like to sing something else, my love.
I intend to. Page 36. This is where your instruments will come in handy. as you have all been orchestrated.
Pardon?
Right, here we go with Somebody's Tell My Gal. A one, a two, a three, a four, a five. Somebody's Tell My Gal. Somebody's Tell My Pal. Somebody came and took him away. He didn't even say he was. Isn't it always the same? Just when one's enjoying oneself. Good boy. Padre, you hold his whistle.
I beg your...
I'll be as quick as I can. I'll take it in the hall. Hello? Captain, I mean Mrs. Povey's residence. Mother Murray speaking.
Well, this is the Admiral. What are you doing in there? You should be next door waiting for Rita to come back.
Well, with a neighbour like Mrs. Povey, you don't really have a choice, sir.
Oh, no, of course not. Anyway, tell Povey from me that some idiot seems to have bashed a bumble spit light vessel.
Oh, really? Any idea who?
Well, not the foggiest. Look, the point is the light's gone wrong, and Povey's got to get someone to take the mechanic out to repair the light, because apparently the Trinity House repair launch has had it as well. Blasted inefficiency, if you ask me.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, sir. But don't worry, we'll volunteer to take the mechanic out in Troutbridge. Give me something to do until Ritakins, your daughter, Mrs. Murray, gets back.
Well, fair enough. I'll leave it to you. I'm off for the pub. Goodbye.
Well, gentlemen, welcome aboard the Bumble Spit Light Vessel.
I don't like it. I don't like being aboard unmanned ships.
Well, hard luck, sir. It's through you we are on board this light vessel. Thanks to you being in such a flaming hurry to cast off, you steamed us out here and left the Trinity House mechanic behind.
I say.
Right, gentlemen, as we're here, we may as well see what we can do to put the light right.
Well, what's wrong with it, sir? Seems to be working.
Oh, it is. Unfortunately, instead of doing 2 flashes every 10 seconds, it's doing 10 flashes every 2.
Gosh, the poor little bulb must be getting confused and terribly, terribly, terribly tired.
Well, in that case, I'll soon solve that problem. Get below so that we can check the mechanism. You go first, Mr. Phillips.
I'd much rather not, sir.
Good. Lead on.
Yeah, but what if Mr. Phillips is right, sir? What if we do find a half-eaten meal and half a mug of...
Oh, don't you start. Lead on, Mr. Phillips.
That's it! Left turn!
Now what's the matter?
Look for yourself, sir. Half a banger, 3 baked beans and 4 chips.
And they're still warm.
Stop doing that! Perfectly simple explanation. The Trinity House mechanics probably got here ahead of us. Anybody there? Hello there? It's the Royal Navy. Well, some of it. Well, come on. There's no need to be afraid. Old man?
Now will you believe me?
Not a drum was heard. Not a funereal.
No, shut up, the pair of you. There's a perfectly simple explanation.
Who did that?
Well, I didn't.
Not me.
Neither did I.
Well, of course, there's nothing in it, but purely as a matter of interest, Mr. Phillips, did the serial in your comic happen to say what was the fate of the Mary Celeste boarding party?
Unfortunately, no, sir. At the bottom of the page, after the half-eaten meal, it said, to be continued next week.
Which, from the way things are going up to now, we'll never have the chance to read.
Bless you, Chief.
Well, it wasn't me, sir. I didn't sneeze.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bless you, Mr. Phillips.
I didn't sneeze.
Oh.
Well, in that case, bless you, Mr. Marisa.
Oh, no, it wasn't me. I didn't. Yes, I did. I must have forgotten.
Not a drum was heard.
For goodness sake, this is ridiculous. Let's get on with adjusting the mechanism for the light.
No, thank you, sir. It's probably through that door that's just bolted itself.
Yeah, my hands are shaking so much, I wouldn't be able to adjust anything.
Oh, come along now, we're not children. Well, I'd go myself, but... I'd go myself, but I don't really fully understand it. I tell you what, here's an idea. Let's get rid of all this ridiculous ghost ship idea and cheer ourselves up first. We could tell each other jokes.
I've got one.
Good.
Yes, it was in my cracker last Christmas. Yes. When is a door not a jar? No. No, I nearly spoiled that, didn't I? Yeah. When is a door not a door?
When something or some being bolts it from the other side. And that something or some being is not here.
Don't start again, Chief. You must have heard hundreds of stories from the lower deck. You cheer us up with one of those.
Yeah, don't make it too smutty. I shan't understand it.
Well, here's one that might suit any. There was these two ladies, you see. They were talking over the garden wall, you see. Mm. The first lady says, my word, she says, oh, George has been good to me. He's just given me a new fridge, a new waste disposal unit, and a new washing machine, see? See, and the second lady says, oh, how lovely, dear. And the first lady says, the snag is, I just can't get on with the washing machine. Yesterday, I put my new smalls in it, pulled the chain, and I haven't seen him since.
Trust you, Johnsy boy.
Hey.
Oh, huh? Don't forget that. I'm not here.
Just tell me I know that voice. Come on out, you bristle-mushed old twit. Nunky, you old twister. What have you been up to? You frightened seven kinds of ship's biscuits out of us.
Poor it's a fair cop. Mad Pierre brings some booze out from Dieppe, dumps it on this light vessel, I pick it up in me tug or tents, and flog it to Portsmouth.
Am I to understand that you are the one who's interfered with the timing of the light on this vessel?
Well, not for long. I've put it back. It's doing it right now. 2 flashes every 10 seconds. I was just going to leave when you lot turned up.
Leave? How?
Me tug or tents, of course. You must have seen her ticking away outside.
A tug or tents is not ticking away outside. However, a tug, very much like the Hortense, jolly nearly rammed us as it chugged past us on our way here in Troutbridge.
Hey, but she must be outside. I put both anchors down.
You stupid, decrepit heap of unshaved flesh and old clothes. What do you think this light vessel's here for?
Well, smuggling.
No, it's to warn bona fide mariners of the shifting sands below.
Well, what about it?
You can't get an anchor to hold in shifting sands.
Well, crikey, that's torn it.
Hang on a minute. If you're with us, why did the Hortense chug past flat out and with full head of steam?
Oh, that'll be Auntie down below. Once she feels Hortense move, she starts stoking.
Quick, everybody back on Troutbridge and full speed ahead.
No, just a minute. I'm the commanding officer and I give the orders.
Do you mind? Full speed ahead is a navigating order. And as a navigating officer, I'm the one who...
Oh, belt up the lot of you. If we don't catch Hortense up, Auntie will keep stoking till she's barked halfway up Gosford High Street.
Pertwee, Leslie Phillips and Stephen Murray have been cavorting about in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans. John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the CO, Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Mrs. Povey was Heather Chasen, the Padre was Michael Bates, and Nunky was Tenniel Evans. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston. Thank you.